And that's what we're going to do today. We are going to see whether we're going to use responsibly the Word of God in a way that can help you not sit in hot water springs, but swim the river of life. Can we do that? Okay, that wasn't very convincing. Are you still with the I nearly died thing? Okay. Are you ready? Can we do that? Amen. Okay. So the way that I want to do that is we're going to use these five principles that we learned. So those five principles we've got on the screen here, it's the Bible was divinely given but humanly written. It's written for us, not to us. Don't read a verse just by itself and always take the Bible seriously, but not literally. Okay, so we're going to use those principles. And we're going to go a bit differently this time around because where Joe and them went and Taiki went to places in the Bible, books in the Bible that we don't often read or we read very quickly or we don't understand. So we went through Genesis and Leviticus and Jonah and through Revelation. So today we're going to go through a book that all of us know very well. It's the book of John. It's the Gospel of John. In this church, we went through this book many, many times. We had a whole series on it. We went back and forth through it. But I want to go to that book of John, and I want to see whether we can use these principles in the book of John in a way that can help us navigate real life in a responsible manner. Okay. So the book of John, how many books in the Bible? By now you should know. Joe said it about 66 times. Okay. There's 66 books in the Bible. Okay. So where we take the Gospel of John is it's part of a four-part series of what is called the Gospels. So Matthew, Luke, Mark, and John. John is part of the Gospels, and the aim of the Gospels we find very well dedicated in John 20, from 30 to 31. John writes his Gospel, and he says, this is the purpose of why I'm writing this. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Okay, so that's the purpose of the Gospel of John. To recount the historical reality of Jesus Christ in John through the signs that he did. Why? So that people can see this, can hear this, can believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And in believing that he's the Son of God, invite him into a personal relationship with us and then modeling our lives after him. But the way that he says it here right at the end on verse 31, he says, that by believing you may have life in his name. Now, what does life in his name mean? Life in his name means that you can, because you know Christ, because he's part of you, that you can live an epic adventure. That is life in his name. Life in his name is not a casual adventure. Life in his name is not a critical adventure. Jesus went on an epic, dangerous, life-taking adventure so that you and I might live. And when we say we want to model our lives after him, it's not parking off in a hot water spring. It's getting into the river that might kill you, but not for the love and the grace and the power of God. This is the purpose of the Gospel of John. Because we know Christ, to follow him in a way in an epic adventure. Now, John does this in a few ways. He uses a few literary techniques. The first that he uses is what's called ethical dualism. Now, ethical dualism is a very big phrase. By simply saying, he takes certain metaphors like light and darkness, and he likens the light to good and darkness to bad, and he uses that metaphor to show us that Jesus is the Christ and that we can believe in him. Another way that he goes about it in a literary technique is he says he overemphasizes irony. Now, irony, for example, is he raises Lazarus from the dead, and that act of raising Lazarus from the dead results in the Pharisees wanting to kill him. That's irony, right? And then the last one that he uses is he uses misunderstandings where people show, where he speaks to them in spiritual tones, but they understand them in the natural. For example, I'm going to break down this temple. I'm going to rebuild this temple in 3 days. He wasn't talking about Herod's temple. He was talking about him dying and being raised from the dead. He speaks to Nicodemus, and he says to him, okay, so you need to be born again. Nicodemus says, okay, there's no way. I'm like 5'8" or 6'9". How am I going to be born again? He says, I'm not talking to you about that. And he says in John 3, verse 12, he says, I've spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? So this says, we want to use the Gospel of John in a way, in a responsible manner, applying our 5 principles so that we can navigate real life, understanding real life from a spiritual perspective into an epic adventure that God has for each and every one of us. But you see, we park off in the hot water spring, hoping for dear life, that life will be easier. Life is not. Our family, as we entered this room, we've got stuff that we are dealing with. We've got difficult stuff that we are dealing with that we don't know what the outcomes will be. We don't understand necessarily what's going on. You sitting here and you don't know. There's so much uncertainty in your heart about certain things, about medical situations, about mental situations, about financial situations, about so many different things. And the Word of God is given to us to be able to navigate real life. Not by parking off and hoping that somewhere, somehow, things will just be better. No, by climbing into the water, feeling like your feet are numb and dead, your knees, your kidneys, your brain. Why? Because God is with you. Now, many times we struggle and say, okay, so I can't go on an epic adventure. Why? Because I live in the tip of Africa. There's already adventurous stuff going on around me. Okay, so I can't invest, or I can't study, or I can't do new things. I can't get married. Okay, so this is not saying get married. This is just saying there are many times, for example, South Africa, we use as a reason to park off in a casual or critical adventure and miss out on what God is trying to do in our lives. And when you think about South Africa, let's take that just as a metaphor of a river that's rushing and it's cold and it's difficult to navigate. Let's use that as a metaphor. So many times when I speak to people about South Africa, they say, okay, so I've been praying for a miracle in South Africa for a long time. Nothing is happening. We're going to go to the place that Zimbabwe is. Have you heard that? Okay. Other people say, listen, it doesn't help praying for a miracle because everything is going to go to smithereens and then we will rebuild on the rubble. And then other people say, "Kinako, it is time for the miracle." And to be honest, in the river that is South Africa, many times I feel all 3 things in the same day. Just me. But this is what I believe God is saying to us today. In the metaphor of a miracle that you might be praying for in South Africa, take the Bible and see what God is saying in spiritual terms about real life so that you can go on an epic adventure in the country that you live. And I did that. So I said, God, okay, so I will follow you through the Word. I will go to John 2. So John 2 is where there's a transition period. Jesus goes pre-ministry to post-ministry. And that transition period is intervened by a miracle. The miracle in Cana, the miracle where water is changed into wine. Who's read that before? Yeah? Okay. So I went there and I said, okay, so God, I'm going to read this scripture based on the principles that you taught me, and I'm going to see whether the spiritual terms of this I can apply to real life. So will we do that? John 2, verse 1 to 11. John 2, 1 to 11, I'm reading from the CSB, and it is on the screen here for those that don't want to take out their phones. Okay. Water being turned to wine. Many people wanted to use this very literally during lockdown with the alcohol ban. I saw people standing over their swimming pools. Okay. Something needs to change here. So we can't do that. Are you laughing? Because it's true, ne? Okay. So we can't use this in a literal sense. There is something that is serious here that we need to read and understand. So let's do that. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana of Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding as well. And when the wine ran out, Jesus' mother told him, "They don't have any wine." And then this verse 4 confused the living daylights out of me for many years. So it says, "What has this concern of yours to do with me, woman?" Nochal, Jesus asked. "My hour has not yet come." Okay, don't only read a verse. Because if you only read a verse, if this was in my house with Don Grobler as a father, he would have gone, kapoof. You don't speak to your mother like that. Okay, so why would this verse, now I'm reading through this, I'm trying to make sense, spiritual terms of a physical reality in South Africa. I'm asking God to lead me through reading the Bible responsibly. So what do I do with that verse? Okay, does it make sense to me? My father would have killed me. I don't understand it. I move on. No, you double down in it. And you try to understand, because many times something is locked up in here and there's a precious part locked up in this piece of scripture. So when you then go to the commentaries, easy. You say John 2 verse 4, commentaries in the Google machine. So in the Google machine, you then go, so there's some commentaries that are a bit weird, but there's one, for example, that says the Bible Hub. There are many different commentaries that you can then look at, and you can try to understand it better. Okay, so me, banker, not a theologian, I then go there. And then I say, okay, what does this mean? And many of the commentators says this about this verse. It says, what Jesus is saying here, he says, Mary, do not be anxious about the trouble that you are in, because the time for the miracle has just not yet come. And when I heard that, I was like, Lord. It means that I don't have to be anxious about South Africa. It means I don't have to be anxious about my child, about my parents, about my brother, about my sister. I don't need to be anxious, because the trouble is there, because the time of the miracle has just not yet come. I can't park off in a hot water spring, trying to read the Bible, can't make sense of it and just move on. No, I need to double down into the river of understanding. Okay, but then you test it. Okay, so then I said, okay, Lord, then verse 5 needs to help me that this is what Mary understood. Do whatever he tells you, his mother told the servants. Okay, why would she say that if there wasn't an anticipation in her heart that things are going to change? Yes. Guys, the Bible is powerful. Mary understands what Jesus is saying, and with anticipation, she says, follow him. Now, verse 6. 6 stone water jars had been set there of Jewish purification. Each contained 20 to 30 gallons, 1,000 liters. Now, this verse ministered to my heart. Why? Because in a miracle that I'm praying for, God can use everyday resources. I've got some of those. Water that they wash their hands and their feet with. Okay, so verse 6 ministers to my heart. Verse 7, fill the water jars, Jesus told them, so they will be full to the brim. And then he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the head waiter. And they did. And verse 7 ministers to my heart. Why? Because I don't want to and don't have to salabim salaboom in order to get a miracle. I have to hear what Jesus says and I have to follow him in obedience. Fela. That's all I have to do. And as I'm reading through the scripture, I'm saying, God, I need this. I need your word to navigate life. And then the head waiter tasted the water and he said, this is good. Why did you keep the good stuff till last? Why did you serve the plonk first? And that says to me in verse 9, it says the best is yet to come. Amen. Verse 11, Jesus did this for the first of his signs and in Cana in Galilee. And hear this. He revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. Lord, that may that be true for the struggles that I'm facing right now. Amen. And then the Lord didn't leave me there. He said, okay, so now you need to, you understand the word, but with this understanding, now meditate on the word. What does meditate mean? Shut up, sit down, and think through the power of the Holy Spirit what God wants to reveal deeper in this scripture. So what did I do? I shut up and I sat down. And I really tried to have these words and this scripture wash through me and over me through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then while I was doing that, this question came up. How many people did God involve in this miracle? And usually I thought it's just Jesus. And I felt the Spirit said, no. Mary had part in it. So she said, here's a problem. She brought it to Jesus. The servants had part of it. They had to do the hard labor. And then the head waiter, he had a part of it. Yes, because he had to announce the miracle and make the wine available to the other people. And then I thought, okay, so should I shut up some more? Yes, so I shut up some more and I sat down and I tried to just listen to what the Spirit is saying. And then this question came. And I felt God say, Bosov, in this miracle that you are praying for, do you think that you have a role to play in it? I'm like, no. Because the moment that scripture is not just parking off on a hot water spring, it gets real in my life. That's where it became difficult for me. Because now I've served God a long time. I know the Bible. Now other verses come up to get me out of the responsibility. So now other things come. And I think, for example, no, 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 Lord. In another part of the Bible, you say in Psalms 47, be still and know that I am God. Which means I can park off here. Yes? Be still and know that I am God. And as I was trying to fight back at this responsibility that God is giving me, then I realized, okay, be still. Okay, Bosef, are you still enough in your mouth of criticism over this country to hear what I have to say about it and what you have to do in it? I'm like, okay. And then the other thing that I thought about, okay, so this was not my skill. This was not my doing, this South Africa thing. Why should I now sort it out? I'm almost born free. I mean, I was like, it's not my fault. And then the Lord arrested my heart and he said, okay, so do you think that Mary was guilty in there not being enough wine? And I thought, no. It was the cheapskate groom. It was his fault. Or maybe people that wasn't invited and they came to the wedding. Okay, so now there wasn't enough wine. So it's, okay, there's other, and Mary and the servants and the head waiter climbed in and they did something. And as I'm wrestling through this, just listen to what God did. And he said, if you want to go on an epic adventure, you can't park off in reading the Bible or living life just in a hot water spring. You have to get into the coldest of cold water. And what it's going to feel like, it's going to feel like your head is underwater. But if you do it with me, you will be loving it because it will be an epic adventure that I'm sending you on. But guess what? The risk and the awareness of risk and how to navigate the risk, we need the Bible as the way to navigate this life. I can't do it without the Bible. I can't be a father without it. I can't be a husband without it. I can't be a preacher without it. I can't be a businessman without it. I can't do life without God's word. But when I use God's word, I need to use it responsibly. And responsibly means reading the Bible for what it is, spiritual terms giving me insight into my practical life. I read it in a way that I try to understand it. If I don't understand it, I go deeper into people that have gone before me that have understood it. And then I understand the Bible. Then when I have the understanding, I sit down and I shut up and I spend time with the Spirit ministering to my heart so that I can meditate on the Word and get to the point of the deeper question that God is asking me. And the moment that the deeper question hits me, then I need to realize that now what I'm going to do, I'm going to try to get out of it. Many times with the knowledge that I have of the Bible, using a verse out of context and trying to get out of the responsibility, allowing God to minister to my heart through that process. And then the last step that God took me through was saying, okay, so we've gone through this process. Now what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about South Africa? Yeah, Jere, ek is a wit man, Afrikaans. I can't do much. All I need to do in this country as a white Afrikaans male is I need to shut up, sit in a corner, do nothing. No. I need to get into the water. How? By using the scriptures. And I went and I said, okay, so Lord, what can I do in the frame of Mary in this country? What did Mary do? She saw the trouble, she brought it to Jesus. So now, when I think about South Africa and I think about the miracle that is needed, many, many people that come to me and they say, Boso, we want to speak to you and we want to buy you coffee. Now, I love coffee. And then people usually, young adults, families and so on, they ask me this question. Okay, so I've got an opportunity to go overseas. Should I go? And I'm like, I don't know. I've got no idea. There's no wine, Mary. I don't know what to do. Okay, but I know the guy that knows. And then I say to them over a cup of coffee, and I say, okay, so let's go and ask Jesus what you should be doing. And then the biblical principles is all I say to them is the following. I say to them, don't be pushed by fear, pulled by opportunity, be driven by the purpose inherent in an epic adventure that God wants to send you on. And then they say, let's buy more coffee. Because I don't understand what you just said. And then I said, do you know the purpose that God has for your life? And then they go, no. And then I say, okay, but then let's figure that out. Let's spend time with God and understanding how He's made you, what He's made you for. Because first you say, what should I do? Then you have the right for the first time to say, where should I be doing it? And then when you say, where should I be doing it? Then you figure out, okay, Lord, who should I do that with? But if we come from it from this side, saying, okay, I've got an opportunity. Okay, to do what? Are you following Christ in a frame that makes sense? That's being a Mary, helping people that are trying to navigate the cold river of life in the realities of everyday life, helping them, coming alongside them and say, I don't have the answer, but I will pray with you and I will read the Bible with you and I will sit with you and I will navigate with you and together I won't leave you alone because the Christ that we serve, and maybe the person doesn't even serve Christ yet. In the frame of Mary, you can introduce them to Christ because they need Christ. There's no way to navigate South Africa in 2023 without Christ. It is impossible. This is the time to be a Mary and introduce people to the Savior of their lives, not only of now, but of their future in eternity. How can I be part of a miracle in South Africa being a servant? I'm going to be a miracle by just doing simple things. Okay, so I can vote. Yeah, okay, so no, my vote isn't going to matter. 12 million people voted in the national elections last time. 19 million did not vote. 19 million people came together and said, no, my vote is not going to count. I know a farmer that farms with ostriches. So the association that I've got, he said to me many times, so when these ostriches are about 4 or 5 months, they all come together one morning and they say, we're going to die. And then they fall and they die. It's a very difficult thing to farm. 19 million ostriches came together in the previous election and said, we're going to die. You can vote. No, register. They make it so difficult to register. It's online, my dear. You can register online. It's not getting spiritual principles into real life. Head waiter, announcing the miracles that have already happened. What miracle has happened in your life that you need to announce into your spirit that can help you navigate today? What miracle has already happened in your life that had it not been for God, the power of God, had it not been for Him, you would not be here today? Those are the miracles that we explicate. Those are the miracles that we speak into our spirit, that we speak into our reality, because those are the miracles that build my faith, that allow me to get out of the hot spring into the coldest of cold water after Jesus. You've got a part to play in this miracle. And there are two things that I believe that God has got on His heart for us today. The one thing is to take a very simple step out of the hot spring. And the second one is a more difficult step. And I want to invite you into both this morning. I assume that nobody's going to come up with soothing tunes behind me while we do this. There will be soothing tunes. There's a piece of paper next to you. A piece of paper that it's empty, which means it needs to be filled. Now, the students aren't here. So if you say to a student there's something empty, you have to fill it. They think about like a whiskey glass or something. So that's not what I'm talking about. What I want to invite you to is there's a reflection paper that you have in front of you. The first part says, a first step towards an adventure. And allowing us in a very practical way to get out of the hot water spring into the river of South Africa. I want to invite you, while spending time with the Holy Spirit, to write down practical steps through which you can be part of the miracle that you are praying for in this country. Practical things. Maybe it is somebody is laid on in your conscience, in your heart, that you should go after and minister to and be alongside with. Maybe there are people in your heart that you know that you have to introduce to Christ, because if it's not for Him, they won't make it through this year. Maybe there are practical things that with the resources that you've got, with the time that you've got, with the talents that you've got. There's a friend of mine that's in the church today. He gave me the biggest gift in South Africa in 2023. He rang me up the one day and he said, Bosov, you've got a role to play in this country in the next 2 years in helping to navigate what we're going through. I want to offer my heart and my time to pray for you. So I'm like, what? You want to spend your prayer time to pray for me on a consistent basis, checking in with me every week to say, how can I come alongside you in the epic adventure that God has sent you on? It can be that. And then maybe as a head waiter, maybe God wants to bring to your mind those miracles that He's already done in your life that will give you hope and faith for what you need to do here. We're going to take that first step now. And I want to ask and invite you to do that prayerfully, quietly, and spirit-led. For some of us, this is a really hard exercise. Because what this exercise does is it pulls you outside of your world. It pulls you out of the hot water spring into something that, you know, I don't even have the strength to focus on. So it might be hard, this. So if this has been hard for you, I want to ask you to continue with this process for the next little while. And if this was easier for you, I want to invite you into the next step. Because the next step is not only saying, okay, what can I do tomorrow differently to be part of the miracle that I'm praying for South Africa? The next step is asking, Lord, what is the epic adventure that you are sending me on? I know where I am now. Lord, show me the preferred future that you have for my life, because the road from now to the preferred future is called an epic adventure. And I want to invite you now to ask the Lord to show you, even if it's just glimpses of the preferred future that he's got for you, of what he has made you to do. Maybe he focuses you on skills, on experiences, of capabilities, of mindsets that you thought is just the way that you've been made. But maybe it's part of what he's deposited in you for the epic adventure that he wants to send you on. So if you're comfortable to take the next step, I want to ask you to just pray this prayer. Lord, show me one thing that will reveal the epic adventure that you have for me in this world. Just one thing. Because that will be the start to the next and the next and the next. I believe that God has got very specific words as well for people in this congregation of what he wants you to see in your preferred future. Can I share a word with you with the glasses? What is your name?
Nelly.
I believe God is saying that he's placed in you, deposited in you, the ability to see pain and to pray for it and for it to be healed. He's placed something in your heart of a healing heart. And through the power of his Spirit, he wants to activate you in an epic adventure alongside him towards healing, not only for yourself, but the world around you, for people around you, for people that you see. And that's just a glimpse of what he has for you. And he's inviting you into this river, and it seems cold and it seems strange and it seems like supernatural. But it's so easy if you just follow him. Girl with a gray jersey. Can I share a word with you? Is it your dad next to you? Can I share a word with her? Yeah. Not gray hair, gray jersey. Can I share a word with you? I believe God is saying that He's raised you up as an encourager in this world. Encouraging people because He's given you eyes to see what He's deposited in other people's lives. And He's raising you up as a person to call that out of people, to say to them, do you know this is the way that God has made you? Do you know that it's special? Do you know that it's worthy? Do you know that God wants to use you in a very strong and powerful way? He's made you in a way to not encourage yourself to get to stuff, or your family. He's made you as an encourager for the world that you live in, and He's inviting you to hone that skill of seeing into other people's heart, and then to build up the courage with Him to get into the river and to share it with them because they need it desperately. Can I share a word with you? With the scarf. I believe God is saying that part of the adventure that He's sending you on is you have an ability to bring people from various walks of life together in unity. He's placed something in you that people that would never be able to get along with each other, whether it's in families, whether it's in communities, whether it is in society, He's given you a gift of uniting people around His heart and around ways to work productively together towards the good of many. And He says, I planted it in you, but I need you to step out of the hot water spring into the river and follow me into that reality that I have for you. It's just a glimpse of what God has for so many of us if we will allow Him to invite us out of casual adventures, of critical adventures, into the epic adventure that He has for us. Lord, I want to pray that You will just minister to each and every one of our hearts. The river is cold, Lord. As I'm sitting here, I'm literally feeling the shivers of real life. Lord, You're sharing with me the coldness that people are feeling in this room, how their hearts are just quieted and stunted by the realities of life. I thank You for Your word, Lord, that can help us to navigate this world in a responsible way. I thank You for this church and this series that helped us to teach us to do it responsibly. And now, Lord, may we not stand still. Can we use this series as we step into the river of life? Show us, Holy Spirit, how in our hearts and in our minds and in our hands. I pray this in Your name, Jesus.